Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning, Path family, and to everyone joining us here virtually, welcome. If this is your first time with us, we want to welcome you in. Go ahead, hit us with a thumbs up or an emoji. And if this is not your first time, welcome back. We're grateful to have you with us today. My name is Jazz Vic, and I am excited about what God has given me to share with you all today. And I feel like there's so much to talk about in so little time, so we're going to jump right into it. But I also want you to interact in the comments. Make sure you put your emojis in the chat, and anything that resonates with you, just go ahead and put it in there. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for who you are. God, thank you for being the one who hears us, who sees us, who desires us to grow closer to you. Father, I pray as I preach your word today that I say only what you want me to say and nothing that you don't want me to say. And ultimately, God, I pray that you will be glorified and your people will be edified. We love you and we pray all of this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So last time I was with you guys, I talked about how important it is for us to keep our eyes on the prize. And when I talked about eyes on the prize, I was talking about how in Hebrews 12, at the outset of the chapter, we have to look to Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. And so then last week, Angel preached about how important it is to embrace the pain. There's discipline that comes our way. There are challenges. There is pain in this process. But yet God calls us to embrace that pain so that we can be prepared for things to come. And so today, I want to talk about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. And the title of my message today is Eager Pursuit. Eager Pursuit. What exactly is eager pursuit? Well, eager pursuit is moving in a decided direction, excitedly, passionately, and intentionally to accomplish a goal. You know, for some of us, the last thing we eagerly pursued was a new job. Some of us may have pursued an opportunity in a new career field, whereas others of us may have eagerly pursued a new level in a relationship, taking a relationship to new heights. Others of us might have eagerly pursued simply getting a number. I ain't gonna call nobody out, but you know who you are. But I, in this time of being quarantined, put on a few pounds, so I had to make sure that I eagerly pursued getting rid of this quarantine 15. But whatever it is that you're eagerly pursuing, you have to make a decision that there will be goals that you want to chase after, and you cannot passively achieve those goals. And that's what I see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Reading from the HCSB version, it says, "Pursue peace with everyone and pursue holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by it defiling many." Eager pursuit. I love the book of Hebrews because it's clear that it was written to people that have a very thorough knowledge of Israel's history. And so the first 10 chapters of Hebrews is written to people who understand the covenant that God made with Israel. And then in chapter 11, it jumps to the hall of faith. But here in chapter 12, it points to the reality that in light of the supremacy of Jesus, in light of who Jesus is, these are your encouragements. These are your admonishments. These are the things that you need to make sure you do. And so here we see, if you don't pursue peace with one another and you don't pursue holiness, you won't see God. That's tough. I mean, if I believe, repented, and been baptized, I'm good, right? Yeah. You know, you're saved, you're sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But sanctification is a process. And so as we move through this life, the process that we're called to is to be made and conformed into the image of God. And so that's why it's so important for us to pursue the righteousness, the holiness, the peace with one another. And so this writer of Hebrews says, pursue peace with everyone. The last time I checked, nothing about pursuit was passive. When you see things being pursued, when you see an animal pursuing its prey, it's not waiting for the prey to come to it. It's going after it and making an intentional effort to achieve the goal that it set out to accomplish. And it's the same thing here for us. The word used here is about being one who strives, one who moves, one who goes after, pursues. And here we are. You know, Angel says it all the time. Peace doesn't come to the passive. And so when we talk about pursuing peace, we see that this chapter, this verse, this scripture is calling us to these two things, harmony and holiness. So from wherever you're watching right now, I want to get you to interact. I want you to say it. You may be by yourself watching this and you might feel a little weird, but I want you to say it so that you can get it into your heart. I want you to say, eagerly pursue harmony and holiness. And you're looking at me crazy. I know you are. I can't hear you, and so you decided not to do it, but I need you to do it. Say, eagerly pursue harmony and holiness. But you may be asking, how? How do I eagerly pursue harmony and holiness? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, the passage says to pursue peace with everyone. Romans says something similar when it says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And so that means that we have to recognize that God is calling us to a standard that's higher than what the world calls us to. You know, how many of us have heard the saying, protect your peace? I've heard it. So many people around me have heard it. And so we take in these toxic narratives and ideologies and we make those things God. We say, you know what? I'm going to protect my peace. And what that really means for many of us is that we're going to insulate ourselves and put ourselves in a space where the only people that are around us are the people that are going to say what we want them to say, do what we want them to do. And that's not protecting your peace. That is not being passionate about your pursuit. Instead, we have a responsibility to lean into the Word of God. And the Word of God says, I can't protect my peace by being passive. I have to pursue peace. That means I have to make a decision. I can't just make sure that whatever's in my heart stays. I got to be willing to excavate the ugliness and the dirtiness that is in my heart and say, you know what, God, this is not what you want. I need to get it out. It means we got to take an inventory. We got to say, where have I been frustrated? Where have I been disappointed? Where have I been upset? And how can I strive to pursue peace with those around me? But you see, the Holy Spirit knew, in the writer of Hebrews, knew that we can't just pursue peace, but we got to pursue holiness as well. He said, I'm not only going to get you to pursue harmony, but you got to pursue holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is being set apart. Holiness is being consecrated. In simple terms, holiness means being different. You know, in this day and age, it's so easy for us to slip into a simple, cultural, convenient Christianity that makes us look very similar to everybody else around us. But God calls us to a level of holiness because that is who He is. When God met Moses in the burning bush, Moses had to take his shoes off because the very ground that the bush existed in became holy when God decided to make His presence there. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw a vision of these unimaginable creatures flying around the throne of God, and all they said every day was, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of His glory. And when Jesus departed, He decided that He was going to send the Helper, and that Helper is the Holy Spirit. And so for those of us who have received the Holy Spirit, God says, if I'm going to dwell in you, then you have to be different. The Holy Spirit is set apart. You know, there are other spirits. And trust me, we all have experienced those other spirits. But God wants us to be holy. That means in how we live. That means in how we interact with people. That means even in this time, when you're at home alone, you have to be holy. And that's a challenge, but that is the challenge God calls us to, because in this passage, if we don't, we won't see him. See, that's why we have to be eager in our pursuit. That's why we have a responsibility to not just wait for God's holiness, not wait for peace with other people, but we have to be willing to chase after it with all that we have. But there are some things holiness is and holiness is not. For some of us, we may have seen holiness as making sure we don't engage in certain activities. We don't play cards. We don't wear clothes that look a certain way. We don't attend secular events. But really, that's all about behavior modification. When God's call for us is holiness, is something that changes the disposition of our hearts in a way that is aligned with him. You know, Jackie Hill Perry said this earlier this week. She said, the Holy Spirit won't lead you where the Father doesn't want you to be and where the Son wouldn't get glory if you stayed. That is a great litmus test for if you are pursuing holiness. Would the Son get the glory if you stayed? But you see, this takes work. Yes, God wants us to come to him. Yes, he wants us to be able to approach him. But there is a certain level of reverence we have when we think about the holiness of God. And when we think about the holiness of God, we think about how reverent we have to be. When we think about that all of heaven points to this God whose glory fills the earth, that should humble us. Would it inspire you to be more holy if you actually sat at God's feet? In our small group this week, somebody brought up this point that many times we don't realize how amazing it is that God desires us to be close to him. Like, he knows our brokenness. He knows our ugliness. He knows our depravity. And yet he wants us to be close to him. You know, even talking about holiness a few minutes ago, I was talking to a friend, and he said, I have to ask myself the question, do I believe God is real? And do I believe God cares what I do? And I think sometimes when we disregard this command to pursue peace with everyone, to pursue holiness, we miss that God actually cares about what we do. He cares about how we act. But then we go into verse 15. And verse 15 says, see to it, make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by it defiling many. These two verses come with some serious warnings, and they should jolt us into action. They should move us to a place where we realize we have to take this seriously. Everything about this scripture puts us a certain responsibility on us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And with that knowledge, the process of sanctification is a constant occurrence in our lives. Nobody wakes up holy. I promise. Nobody just wakes up righteous. Not me. Like, I don't, when I wake up, I'm not holy. I'm not exciting to be around. I actually wake up pretty irritated. I don't, you know, you can ask Taylor. Like, I don't want anybody talking to me the first 30 minutes of being awake. And so you have to actually work to be holy. But then I thought about this. Why would God put this here? You see, to eagerly pursue harmony and holiness means I have to be willing to constantly extend grace because of the grace I've been given. That's why it says, don't make sure no one falls short of the grace of God. You know, when we don't pursue harmony with one another, we're failing to show the grace that God extends to us each and every day. And as humans, we're short-sighted. We easily forget that the very breath we took was an act of grace from God. But then I also thought about, why would the writer of Hebrews put this here? And so I realized that this is an allusion to Deuteronomy 29:18. This particular passage about the bitter root springing up and defiling many is an allusion to Deuteronomy 29:18, where it says, make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of these nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. All these times I've read Hebrews 12:15, and I never thought about the fact that the proper reading of this doesn't mean that the root itself is bitterness. Better yet, the fruit produced is bitter and poisonous and defiles many. So then what are the roots? The roots are idolatry. The idolatry of our preference, the idolatry of perspective, the idolatry of our pride, the idolatry of our own plans, so many other things that we make our idols. And those roots get anchored in the soil of our hearts. And if you haven't cultivated a heart of holiness, then it easily springs up, and that fruit that manifests is bitterness, frustration, anger, discord, pride in your own way. And interestingly enough, the more we allow these dangerous root systems to grow, the easier it is for the results to seem normal. I love how the Bible talks in agricultural terms. You know, many of you may not know, but I can be bougie sometimes, but I really grew up on a farm. For about 15 years of my life, every summer, I grew up learning from my grandfather, who was a farmer and an entrepreneur. And the very first thing I ever drove was a tractor. But what I learned in my times as a farmer is that soil needs some very specific things in order for plants to grow. It needs the right minerals. Phosphorus, nitrogen, sulfur, calcium. It needs the organic dead matter. It needs water and it needs oxygen. Without the presence of these things, roots don't develop and the crop won't yield. In the same way, God wants our hearts to have the right soil and the right nutrients in the soil. It needs the right minerals, the nutrients that come from love, from peace, from joy. We need organic dead matter, the dying to ourselves daily. We need water, Jesus, who is the living water. And we need the Holy Spirit to be the very air that we breathe. Don't miss the grace of God that shows how wide, how long, how deep, and the breadth of his love when we're rooted in it. But what does this mean for us practically? It means practically, in order for us to seek God and to make it to the end, there are things we have to eagerly pursue: harmony and holiness. It means I have to ask myself, are there people I need to have necessary conversations with? Are there things that I need to do that will be uncomfortable for me? Have I allowed my idolatry of preference and pride to yield a crop of bitterness towards other people? Have I forgotten how much grace God has shown me, so I now fail to show others that same grace? Ask yourself, have I decided that holiness is unnecessary as long as I check the to-do list of my convenient, comfortable, cultural Christianity? Or are you watching right now and you haven't even bought into Christianity yet? My question to you is, what are you waiting for? Have you allowed your picture, your caricature of Christianity to stop you from really, truly getting to know the God of the Bible? Have you allowed what the world around you says Christianity is to stop you from digging in and figuring out who this God is who wants to know you deeply? The truth is you don't have to yield to those perspectives. Jesus himself died on the cross so that you can have a chance. And the Holy Spirit is available to you to transform you from who you are into God intended you to be. The only thing standing in the way is you deciding to eagerly pursue. At this time, we're going to pray for our communion. And as we pray, I want you to really think about, how can I eagerly pursue harmony and holiness? Starting your homes. For many of us, we have been sheltered in place, and we have created these interactions with our family members, or we need to really excavate the dirt in our hearts. We need to till the soil of our hearts in order to be softened again, even to the people around us in our homes. And then move outside of your home. Who do you need to talk to? Who do you need to make peace with? How do you need to pursue being the one that God calls you to be? The one who pursues peace and the one who pursues holiness. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for giving us chance after chance after chance. Help us as we move forward. Help us to seek your peace. Help us to not seek the absence of tension, but rather, God, help us to seek true peace. God, we thank you for making peace with us by sending your son, Jesus. And so even as we prepare to take communion, help us to realize that Jesus didn't have to do this, but he chose this path so he could pursue harmony with us. Help us to emulate him and to glorify you. We love you and praise in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.